Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Talking about God's vision for your life. And for the church, and this is like part four, so I hope you can get in a position where you can see some things. Tonight I want to draw some things that I believe the Lord showed me to show you, and I appreciate you being here. I want to give you a slogan that I heard someone tell me years ago, and it stuck with me, and I don't know if it's a book title or not, but it would be a great book title. And the slogan is this: beware of the busyness, beware of the barrenness, rather, of a busy life. That spoke to my heart the first time I heard that. And this time of year, it's a very busy, busy season for a lot, maybe a lot of you. It's probably busier than normal if you do shopping and things like that, and you know, the traditional Christmas thing. And this type of year can be extremely busy and really not be productive spiritually because you're so busy doing other things. You lose this time of year that we're to be enthralled with a sense of wonder. We're to be thinking upon, meditating upon the wonder of God, that God became a man. We're to be thinking about it. It's not to give us understanding, but it's to produce a sense of wonderment in our life, to where there's just some things you're just going to wonder about. You're never going to fully understand or comprehend, but you're just going to have to wonder at, wow, how do you do this? How did this happen? How did, and all the things that go along with it. And so in this busy time of year, if you're not careful, you'll get busy with all the other trappings of things that you're doing and parties and get-togethers. There's nothing wrong with all that. But don't lose the intent that God has for us every December to stop and wonder at the incarnation and read over and over again the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus and God, Emmanuel, among us. This busy time of year, in my quiet time with the Lord, I asked the Lord last Wednesday a question, and he responded very rapidly. When I say that, I don't want you to think I hear an audible voice. I think most of you probably understand, but maybe for the sake of somebody here, there's a difference between the word of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is the written word of God. And when you're reading the Bible, you can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to your spirit as you read the word. So there's the word of the Lord. And when I preach on Sunday morning, I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. But then there's the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is different. The voice of the Lord would always agree with the word of the Lord. That's how you check it. But as you know your shepherd's voice, John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." There's times where God doesn't just speak to you through reading the Bible. There's times when the Spirit of God just tells you something. Just drops it in your spirit. And you're going, "Now, was that me or was that the Lord?" And the answer is yes, it's both. It's a combination. It's the Spirit of God dropping that into your soul. So I'm jumping off in the deep end here real quick with this subject, because this is a very important part of letting God lead your life. We need the word of the Lord, but we also need to pay attention to the voice of the Lord, especially a time of correction. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And the psalmist said it this way: you'll hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Now let me ask you a question. I want you to think before you say anything. How do you know the difference between right and wrong? Most people would say, if we weren't sitting in a church right now, they would probably say, well, conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. No, not really. The word conscience is actually two words. It means, con means with, and science means knowledge. And so your conscience is a good guide only as you have the right knowledge in your conscience. Some people don't have a good conscience. Some people have a hardened conscience or a dull conscience. And so a conscience is not the way, okay? It may be a way that God can speak to you. You know, my conscience is bothering me. I need to go back and take that extra money that the cashier gave me when I checked out at this. I don't need to keep that. I need to bring it back. Your conscience bothers you. Well, that's good. You've got good knowledge in your mind, in your understanding, and that's a good thing. But so you may know the difference between right and wrong with a conscience, but how do you know the difference between two rights when both ways are right? When a decision has to be made, and this is right, and this is right, how do you know the difference? The difference will be determined by the Spirit of God. God has a plan for you. He has a direction for you to go. It isn't both ways. You can't go both ways. A decision has to be made. Both are good decisions. Both are equally well. Both are equally true and honest and just. So how do you know the difference? This is when the voice of the Lord comes in. When the Word of God doesn't say, that's wrong. But now you need to hear the voice of God. Are you understanding? Nod your head this way. It works this way and that way. Okay, good. All right, yeah, make it rattle. Okay. So it's important to know the voice of the Lord as well as the word of the Lord. So I asked God a question. I said, Lord, how may I glorify you today? That was my question. And he answered immediately. It was the voice of the Lord. And he said it into my spirit, into my soul, so I could understand it. And he just simply said something as simple as this: by allowing me to live my life through you. That's not a great revelation, but that was an answer to my question. By letting me live my life through you. That's kind of vague. Okay, yes, I know that much, God. I know that this is going to require that I pay more close attention to you. You know, when I come to a decision point, I need to stay focused on my God-given assignment. And that's just simply what he said, just by letting me live my life through you today. Okay, not hard. It just means I need to pay attention. Don't get ahead of you. I need to sync with you. One of Satan's biggest tricks, I think, where he hoodwinks most of us many, many times with the same trick, is he gets us overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. You know, when you don't just have one, two, three things to take care of, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 14. And you say the words, I'm getting overwhelmed. Because you've got too many things to watch out for, too many things demanding your time, your attention, your responsibility. And so Satan's trick is to just keep piling things up in your life, because he's trying to overwhelm you and keep you from this, the main thing. We have a saying here, I preached a series of messages on it, and it's a saying. I think Peter Lord is the one who coined the phrase, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And we have a tendency when we get starting to get overwhelmed that the main thing starts to go down on the priority list. What's the main thing? I don't know what your main thing is. I think I know what it's supposed to be, and I think you know what it's supposed to be. But if we weren't sitting in church today, we weren't thinking about the Bible and stuff, and we're just asking a group of people, what's the main thing? What's the most important thing that you need to keep before you? What's your priority? We'd probably get a variety of answers. But in a church, I pretty much know what your answer is going to be. Of course, it's your relationship with God. But more specifically, what has he assigned you to do? You say, I don't know. Well, it's time to find out. And the way you find out is that you have this relationship with him that's the priority of your life. It's the most important thing you do every single day, 7 days a week, and that is that you spend time alone with him before you get busy and go out in the world. If you're hoping that going to church is going to sustain your spiritual life and walk with God, let me tell you, it will not. God wants you. He loves you so much. He wants you to have the thrill of discovering His voice will speak to you, and you will know the difference between your conscience and the voice of God, and it will thrill you. And God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you because He wants you to know Him. You are created for this very, very purpose. And so if, let's just say, you didn't already know that answer, let's just look at you for a moment and ask you this question. Just list the top three things that are the most important thing for you to be about in your daily life, 7 days a week. What are the top three things? You want to list some things? I mean, say some things out loud. Be glad to hear it. Top three things. Time with God. We already said that. What else? What is it? Love people, obviously. There you go. Good. What else? Reading the Word. Okay. Those are, and your number two and number three, number four might be a little bit different here and there. But these are the things where you've got to know and maintain your priorities, because if you don't, you'll get overwhelmed. If these top three things, the top three things of your heart, the top three things of your life, if they get pushed aside because you have so many other things to do, you're going to get frustrated. You'll get burned out quickly before 2022, which is right around the corner. As a pastor, I've been a pastor for 38 years. I can't believe that. But I've been a pastor for 38 years, and my routine of life, you guys know the routine of life has been, you know, it's a weekly routine you have to get in to be able to maintain your priorities and how to function as a pastor and how to, you know, you got your family life, you got your finances, you got your children, you have grandchildren. So life gets complicated the longer we live. And yet, for 38 years, my routine, my habit is so ingrained in me. It's what I do. I know what I'm going to do Monday morning. I know what I'm going to be doing Tuesday, Wednesday. And then I have to allow modifications because there's always surprises that come. But as a pastor, my routine is, okay, I have to hear messages from the Lord by being in the Word and listening to the voice of the Lord every single week, because Sunday's coming. And soon as Sunday's over, I go, whew. Then I wake up Monday morning, Wednesday's coming. And then it's here before you know it, because you had a bunch of surprises, things happened in your life, a crisis, this and that, and you've got to run and do these things on top of Wednesday's here. Sunday is here. And this is my routine, though, and you get used to it. And you live, you know, that way. And God gives you great, great grace. And so one particular time, I was going through a time where I was really going farther than I should have gone emotionally, physically, being involved in a lot of stuff that you just have to do. And I knew that the Lord had been speaking to my heart. He said, I want you to take some time off, and I want you to go and be alone with me. And I heard that as the voice of the Lord to me. And I do that periodically. I like to do it once a quarter at least, where I go to a little retreat center, usually around here or maybe Titusville. There's a retreat center, Christian retreat. And I go and I rent a room, and I stay there for at least two nights. Just me and God, my Bible, my journal. I may take a book that I feel like He wants me to read, but I don't prepare sermons. I don't do any of that. I don't do any planning. I check in with Pam, but I'm just there alone with God. And God has really honored that in my life. He has really honored. And you think, well, I would be bored to death. What am I going to do? I'm not watching TV. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just time. You'd be surprised. It is absolutely thrilling. Because you have given God uninterrupted attention. If you haven't done that, I suggest you do that. every one of you have a private. I know you, well, I do this every day. Well, I do this every day too, but there's something special when you will designate a certain block of time in your life where you say, I'm not dealing with anything. I'm not focused on anything. I'm just coming to hear God right now. And don't let it have to be a crisis to get you there. But it's a great thing. God will honor that if you do that. So anyway, I had made reservations, and in ministry, you know how hard it is to get away. You got to make sure, okay, well, Wednesday somebody's here to do this, Sunday somebody's here to do this, or whatever your time off is. And then so when you finally get away, I had finally got everything ready to go. I left my house. I got on the turnpike. I just got on the turnpike. And I'm starting to think, okay, well, you know, I've got to be back here for Sunday. So I've got to, you know, so I'm thinking in my mind, you know, how am I going to put these things together that I think God is showing me for Sunday? And I'm starting to think, and just at that moment, the voice of the Lord, everybody say the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord spoke very clearly to me, almost audible in my head, just like loud. And he said these words, should preaching be your priority? I mean, it brought tears. You know, when God speaks to you in a very clear way, usually tears puddle up quickly in my eyes, like, boy, it's the voice of God. It's the pure voice of God. And tears puddle up in my eyes. I pull off of the interstate. I pull off the side of the road on the shoulder. And I just was crying and I was weeping. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to be giving this time undivided attention to you. And I'm already in this mode. God, help me. Help me decompress. Forgive me. Why am I doing that? No, you are the priority. You are the priority. If I never preach another message, you're the priority. If I come in Sunday and I don't have a message prepared, you are the priority of my life. And I never forgot that. That was just a couple of years ago. This is why I don't take early morning meetings with people unless it's a dire emergency. Someone says, hey, can we go have breakfast or we go to this? Most of the time, I prefer not because I like those mornings. Just, I start my day with God. This is you and I time. I want to have some guidance before I even go out in the day that you already know everything is going to happen. This is why the morning time for me is the best time to have quiet time before you get busy. It's my time with God. There can be so many distractions in ministry. Everything in ministry is important. Everything. And in ministry, maybe many of you know, you never get finished. You're never done. You're never finished and check everything off and say, I've got everything done. It's never done. And after you leave this earth, it'll never be done. I think I'm having a therapy session tonight, and I guess I've invited you all to my therapy session. I appreciate you being here. So without intimacy with God, and I'm speaking to the choir tonight, without intimacy with God, you will burn out quickly. So I'm speaking this maybe in hopes that somebody's watching or somebody here tonight is getting the message that God has taught me and is teaching you too now that you've got to stop and get your priorities in order. The vision for your life, the focus of your life is going to include many Christmases that are busy, 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 but what's the priority? So to look at this, last week I left you with a little cliche. I asked you, I said, are you going to have a Merry Christmas or are you going to have a Martha Christmas? And so I want to take you to the text where that's found tonight in Luke chapter 11. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 38, or excuse me, chapter 10 rather, in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. She welcomed Jesus. So Jesus is in her house. Jesus, you could say it like this, Jesus is in her life. You would say it like this, that Jesus is in your life. If you're born again, Jesus is in your life. He's in your house. She had a sister called Mary who also, everybody say that with me, who also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. Now, catch that. I didn't notice that until just probably a few weeks ago, thinking about this. that who also, if you can bring that scripture back up, please, who also. So both Martha and Mary, sisters, they were at first, all of both of them sitting at Jesus' feet. They welcomed him into their house, and they were both sitting at his feet. Okay, it wasn't one was busy and one was not. Both of them were there. Both of them were sitting at his feet, which is a phrase meaning they were receiving teaching from him. You would sit at a rabbi's feet to learn from them because they had words of wisdom. And so they were listening to his teaching. Both of them, both Martha and Mary, were sitting at Jesus' teaching. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving and said to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Well, actually, it was Martha who left Mary. Mary and Martha were sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha got distracted and got up and went about taking care of some other business that she felt like was a priority. She has left me. So both Martha and Mary, at one time, both of them were both engaged in serving. Mary was serving, Martha was serving, but when Jesus began to speak, Mary sat down to listen to what he had to say. And a good point, someone brought this to my attention that I want to share with you, that Jesus was in Martha's house, but he was not the focus of her attention. Now, I want to talk about you and me for a moment. Like me, a moment ago, as I shared that illustration, being on the turnpike, going to a place to have intimacy with God, Jesus is in my house, but he wasn't the focus of my attention. The focus of my attention was me getting ready to do what I'm called to do on Sunday. And we would say it like that for you, that Jesus is in your house, you're born again, you're going to heaven if you die because you've been born again, but is he the focus of your attention today? Right now he is because you're in church. But tomorrow morning, he's in your house, but is he the focus of your attention? Okay, do something because you're making me a little nervous. Smile at me like you're really enjoying this. Okay. All right. So we have something here to look at. If you're born again, Jesus is in your house, but what's your focus? That's the point. In verse 41, 42, Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part. Now I want you to read the rest of that. Mary has chosen that good part, which
shall not be taken from her.
Very good. So there's something that Jesus can give you that can be taken away from you. Something that Jesus himself will give you, whether it's the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, something that Jesus will give you that will help your life, that will bring life to you, that will bring help to you. It's something he can give you himself personally, but it can be taken away from you. Here's Martha, two people. She's anxious, she's troubled about many things, and because of that, her soul is withering. It's like a plant that's either not getting the water or the nourishment it needs, and it's just drying up. And then there's a plant that's right next to it that's Mary. And she's focused on the main thing. She realizes that I've got to make this my priority. My time with God, my relationship with God is the main thing of my life. When he speaks, I stop and I listen. It's not more important for me to get up and go do other things because I think they need to be done. And I may think at the moment that if I don't do it, no one else will do it. I must listen to what Jesus has to say whenever he speaks, whether it's at midnight and I get up and I write it down. Or if I'm driving a car down the turnpike, I pull off the side of the road, I write it down because it's that important. And her soul is prospering. So the question, I can't tell by looking at you people. You look like you're all wonderful. You've got a full of abundant life. Well, at least when you smile at me, you look better that way. You look more like you're happy. The question is your soul prospering? And let me ask you a question. How would you know? How do you know? There's got to be a measure. I know.
I'll use this one. Thank you. So I know it's Wednesday night, and I know your body's a little tired, and I'm going to be brief. I'm not going to be lengthy, I promise you. But I want you to ask yourself that question. Make your body, slap yourself if you need to, wake up. And how would you know your soul's prospering? I'm just asking out loud. Just give me some feedback. Anybody know? How do you know? You have peace. That's a great indicator. Yeah. Joy. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Okay. So let me ask you, do you have that? I mean, it's yes or no. I'm not condemning anybody. If you don't, you don't. If you do, you do. But that's two good indicators there. There's many other indicators as well, but that's two that you've listed. Okay. So in my time this week, I believe the Lord gave me something to show you. I want to kind of draw it out here on this board for you. So when there's the Spirit of God, capital big S, and then I like to put a double S, a small S here, for the spirit of man. Man has a spirit. And so when you're when you're born again, I like to say you have a double S spirit, okay? God's spirit and your spirit merge together, a born-again spirit, okay? It's not just the human spirit. God's spirit, his nature is what Bruce just taught on this past Sunday in his class, is love. God, that's of all things. The scripture says he is love. He has faith, but he is love. That's his nature. So the very nature of God's spirit is this agape or unconditional love. And God's spirit, once he is in your spirit, his love is manifested as fruit in your life, okay? So there's I'm just going to abbreviate, there's love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, and you could say all the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's manifested in joy, it's manifested in peace, it's manifested in patience, kindness, goodness, and then there's faith, and there's meekness, and there's self-control. So there we have God's Spirit is pouring out. And where is he pouring it into now that you're born again? It's in your spirit and his spirit. But now, let me, because I don't have enough board here to show you what I want you to see, that it's like right here there is your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your reasoning, your imagination. Just all the mental part of you is here, okay? And so your soul and the Spirit of God and your spirit are merging together. But there's a portal. There's a portal. We could say. And I'm going to make this like a funnel, like we saw last week. And your soul has a place where the things of the Spirit of God, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, can pour into your soul. And this portal is called believing. And if you would look in your Bible or write this down in 1 John 4:16, the scripture says we have come to know and believe this love that God has for us. It's one thing, you get knowledge first. You get knowledge, but knowledge is not enough. It's when you believe that now what is in the Spirit, it pours into or drops into the soul. You believe. You believe with your heart, not your head. You get saved by believing in your heart. And your heart is the combination of the Spirit and the soul. And they are so intertwined when you're born again that the only thing that can separate between what is spirit and what is soul, how do I know this is the Spirit of God and not just my conscience? The only thing that can separate it is the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. If so intertwined, they work together, they're in sync. How do I know? Well, it's the Word of God that says, Hebrews 4:12, that separates between. It's that sharp sword that can only, it's the only thing that can separate the difference. That's why you need to have a good working knowledge of the Word of God. But your heart is the combination of your spirit and soul. But the moment you start believing with your heart, a portal in your soul opens up so the things in the spirit can begin to drop down into your soul. And then there's another level, and we call this the body. And your body has a portal or an opening. And we say believing, and that portal here would be faith. And as you exercise faith without works, which is dead, by the way, then what you're believing from the spirit goes down into the soul, and it goes down and it manifests down here in your body. Your body will manifest peace. Your body will manifest what is called rest, the rest of the Lord. Your body will manifest that you are abiding in Christ. And you begin to bear that fruit that was up here in the spirit begins to manifest somehow physically in your body, different from the way other people manifest it. But joy looks different on you than maybe it looks on Gary or me. Peace may look a little different, but you can see it's the fruit, but it's manifested differently because we all got different bodies and different personalities. Are you with me so far? Did I lose you? Okay. So we want what's here in the spirit to go down into our soul and affect our soul and our way of thinking, affect our imagination, our reasoning, and everything like that. That's the renewing of the mind. But then it drops down into our body, and it manifests in a sense that we have the rest of the Lord. We have a quiet confidence that people look at and say, I want what you have. And that's available. Now, both Mary and Martha were sitting at church. Jesus is the preacher. He's giving them words of life. Mary and Martha, front row seat. Jesus speaking life. And what Martha had was taken from her. What Mary had would not be taken from her. Why? You know the answer. Just don't be afraid. Speak it out. They got the same meal. They got the same words. One, it would be taken from them. They wouldn't even remember it before the evening came. The other one, it was not going to be taken from them. And it manifested in her life, in her soul, and in her body. Martha was troubled and anxious. Mary was restful. Yeah, I know that work needs to be done. It'll get done when I get to it. But right now, the priority is I'm listening to Jesus. Are you understanding? Keep the main thing, the main thing. So I warn you that there are good things that God is giving you and will give you and wants to give you every single day. Good things from the Lord, from the word of the Lord, from the voice of the Lord. But they can be taken from you and never produce in you what it could produce if you don't take time to write them down and remember them and keep them. It'll be taken. A good word from the Lord. Someone said the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. So true. Psalm 127, verse 2, you won't see it up on the screen. It says this: God, He gives His beloved sleep. The Amplified Version says it this way: He gives to His beloved even in their sleep. Do you think God's going to waste 8 hours or however time you mind in bed sleeping? No, He uses it. He gives to you even in your sleep. Why does God sometimes talk clearer to me when I'm asleep than when I am awake? You know the answer. Distraction. So I finally lie down. And He says, now I can talk to you. Go ahead and go to sleep. I'll give it to you in a dream. Or I'll wake you up in the middle of the night with a song. Anybody ever been woke up in the middle of the night with a song? Psalm 23 says this. Note God's order. Psalm 23, which you know, the shepherd's psalm. Note the order. The first thing that happens with God: the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me. What's the second thing God does? He leads me. So before He leads you, you have to rest. Before you can hear God, all this anxiety, all these things demanding your attention, crying out, voices, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got your to-do list. All these voices like a snow globe that you shake up, you have to stop. Let all those things settle down. And then, like the psalmist, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. You're not God. God is God. He knows all the things you've got to get done. He knows all of that. But He wants you to listen to Him. And He'll give you direction how to get it done in a timely way. So the good word that He plants in our hearts will bear fruit this season. Right now is a season. The good word that He's planting in your heart will bear fruit this season if you regard it as the main thing of your life. And that church is not just another thing that we do. Hearing God is the main thing. Hearing God, you, hearing God talk to you is the main thing. You say, well, I don't recognize God talking to me. A good place to start is start reading the New Testament through. Okay, if you're not used to recognizing the voice of God, start reading the New Testament through and tell God, God, I want to know Your voice. Help me hear Your voice. Help me to recognize Your voice. And as you start reading through the Word of God, then eventually you'll start to recognize the voice of God. It happens that way. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Redeem, make the most of the time, because days are evil. The clock is still running. The game is still going. We're still breathing God's oxygen. We're here on this globe, and the world is still moving forward. Note the location of this verse. If you go back to it, Ephesians 5:16, two verses just before the scripture talks about being filled with the Spirit. Actually, it's a command to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye continually refilled with the Spirit. This is two verses before being filled with the Spirit. Notice, it's interesting to me the timing of the place of this. Two verses before being filled with the Spirit. In other words, if you will keep the main thing the main thing, if you'll redeem the time, if you'll make the priority of your day, every day with God first and time with Him and to be still and listen to Him and read His word. If you'll keep that main thing the main thing, then I find it in my own life that I get all those other things done if I have my priorities straight when they need to be done. I find the efficiency level goes up tremendously. God helps me to fix things that break that I don't know how to fix. God helps me find things that I've lost that I don't know where they are. If I put Him first, He helps me with those things that are important to me. But I don't let those things become more important than Him. Where has the time gone? We hear that a lot, don't we? The Eagles. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Remember that? Anybody besides me? Oh. Okay, I remember that. It's slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. It's just like, man, where's the time gone? I close out with this. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. What I started with is what I'm ending with. You got to see this. And if you haven't seen it before, it's a simple acronym that somebody came up with. Busy sometimes can mean bound under Satan's yoke. You can be so busy, and Satan will keep you busy if he knows. That's what works. It keeps you from putting the main thing, which is your relationship with God. So if that's all he's got to do, and if that's working, then I guarantee you, your life is not going to slow down. I can't tell you the number of people over my 38 years of ministry or so who have said to me, well, when things slow down, we're going to start coming to church. I say goodbye. That's never going to happen. If that's all it takes, I guarantee you, Satan has got you. You're bound already. You'll never, unless supernaturally, for some reason, God makes a way for you to make you lie down. But He loves you. So, last question. Are you going to have a Merry Christmas or a Martha Christmas? It's up to you. It's up to you. It starts today. And then in a few hours, you wake up in the morning, you'll decide what's the priority of your life. Okay. And God brought you here tonight just to be a friendly reminder to help you, love you, and say, come on, the clock is ticking. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word. We pray that it will not go out void, but it will penetrate the hearts exactly where it needs to. And that as a result of that, God, there'll be much, much fruit from everyone's life here and everyone who's watching. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here.